Everybody stand tonight for the reading of the Word of God. For all you folks that's here tonight, I've still got my Gary Lee Hall health notes and blood pressure medications book with me tonight. And so I'm glad the Lord let me bring that along. Amen. And if I didn't, I'd be in bad shape for tonight. Good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
Good to be in the Lord's house. And good to be able to get out and go to church. You know, there's a lot of folks tonight that don't have that opportunity. They're bedfast or incarcerated or some other problems they have, and they're unable to get to the Lord's house, but I'm glad we can get here and try our best to preach the Word of God and fellowship with one another and try to worship the Lord. Amen. That's right. Try to have a good time in the Lord Jesus. I want to turn your Bible tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter number 7. Exodus chapter number 7 tonight, and we're going to continue right on tonight with our study on the life of Moses. And I'm not going to do any background at all on the message tonight. I've got a lot of things I've got to read. I hope I don't bore you too much with it, but there are several things that I've got to read, and I hope that they'll give you something, okay? We're going to begin reading in verse 14 of the book of Exodus, chapter number 7 and verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, lo, he goeth out under the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to do this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your great love and mercy to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and the great truths that we find there, the correction, Lord, that you give us there. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of life itself. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you and the free pardon of sin. Thank you, Lord, that my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you that I'm in the Lamb's book of life. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching tonight. I pray for your power, your unction, your grace, your mercy, your love to rest upon me tonight and make me a blessing to people. I pray that folks that hear that are lost will be saved, and God's people will find great grace and great joy in their heart. May their needs be met. I pray, Lord, that you'll lift their burdens they carry. I pray you'll touch their bodies that are sick, their bodies that are afflicted, and give healing grace and power to them. Help us now, Lord, as we stand tonight. Bless every home and every heart. Protect people tonight, Lord, in the path of the storms that are passing through. And we'll thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you now. And you may be seated. All right, I'm gonna preach tonight for a while. I'm gonna have to read some things, like I said, but I want to preach the best that I can tonight on this thought: the birthplace of gods, the birthplace of gods. I want to say a few things about the Nile River because that is the birthplace. The Nile was the birthplace of many gods. In fact, Israel worshipped not only the Nile, but many of the fish and other and crocodiles and other animals that were associated with that river, they committed idolatry and worshiped those things and considered them to be gods. I want to say a few things about the Nile River tonight that may be of some interest to you, and then just bring the brief thought that God's given me for this evening. All right. The Nile has its origin in Central Africa. And it flows northward to the sea. It is the world's longest river. At times, it's like a lot of rivers. It flows very peaceably and very gently. But at other times, its raging waters crash against the jagged rocks until it overflows its banks. And as it does, it deposits rich silt or rich dirt along its banks. And it was this rich dirt that the Egyptians used for the growing of their crops, that provided their food, and also not food for them only, but food for their animals. In fact, if you'll remember the dream that Pharaoh had when Joseph was there incarcerated in the land of Egypt, he had a dream, and the Bible said that in that dream he saw seven well-favored kine and seven ill-fleshed kind. Now, that's in Genesis 41, 1 through 3. And they came up out of the river, both the fat-fleshed and the lean-fleshed. They came up out of the river. And in doing so, those fat-fleshed, that was a sign to Pharaoh. It should have been. It was a sign. It was to Joseph, and he interpreted the dream. But it ought to have been a sign to Pharaoh that the river that he was trusting in, and that rich silt and soil that it produced, would grow for 7 years and produce well. But 7 years later, it would produce a famine for 7 years, where it would not do that well, okay? And they depended upon this river for their provisions and their sustenance. Through the benefits that it brought, it made it to become an object of religious veneration. I want to say this right here. It is no wonder to me tonight that the river is the very first thing that God struck with a great plague. The first plague that occurred in Egypt was turning the river into blood. All the waters into blood, all the ponds into blood, every stream, all the drinking vessels were all turned into blood. And the reason being, all the water that was there came out of that Nile River. And it was that Nile River that became an idol to the nation of Egypt, and they worshiped that river, and they worshiped the gods that came out of that river. And it's no wonder that God's first judgment on that land was against the very gods that they put their trust in. And I'll say a little bit more about that as we get along, okay? One of the gods, birthed by the Nile, became known as the Savior of Egypt. Can you imagine that? A god out of the river became known as the Savior of Egypt. He was given the name of Osiris and was worshipped under numerous other names. And they even wrote a religious hymn and dedicated that religious hymn to that god that supposedly come up out of that river. Now, I don't know who imagined that or whoever thought of that, but it had to be a figment of somebody's imagination. I'm just telling you that gods don't come up out of the river. To begin with, there is but one God, and that's God Almighty, the Lord Jesus. And God certainly don't come up out of that river. But it's amazing to me. It shouldn't trouble us to believe that God, His first plague was on that river, the birthplace of the very gods that Israel trusted rather than entrusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to say this tonight. God was merciful to those people. You realize tonight that it did not take all of those plagues to deliver the nation of Israel. God could have delivered them in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There's nothing impossible with God. But I'm telling you, those plagues struck at the very heart of the idolatry that went on in the land of Egypt, every one of them. And the first one was on that river, the birthplace of all the gods that they worshiped. God turned that water in that river into blood and brought judgment upon it. Amen. Now, let me try to move on here. Another myth says that a woman nursed a young crocodile. Can you imagine that? A woman nursing a crocodile. I've never heard of such thing. And the Egyptians proclaimed her to be a blessed being. And they even give her a title as the nurse of God. They said that she was the very nurse. Hey, I thought Catholicism was bad until I read about this. But I'm going to tell you, I believe this has got Catholicism beat all the pieces. I mean, they worship everything under the sun. Now, they say they worship Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. I saw some things out in Arizona and in Mexico. They worship more than Christ, friend. They worship idols of stone and idols of wood and many other things like that. They surely do. But I'm telling you, that tops it all when a woman, a myth can be improvised, when they can say that a woman gave nurse to a crocodile and they called that woman the nurse of Almighty God. That is amazing to me how they could come up with something like that. It is no wonder that God judged them. And I won't say this. I won't say this. Come on now. Listen to me. I won't say this. Don't want to get ahead of myself. But all those plagues were not just given to deliver Israel. Those plagues were given as judgments upon the idolatry that was in that land. Amen. And God was merciful. He struck at the very heart of their idolatry and worked from there and being merciful to those people. But Pharaoh, and I'm telling you, the rest of those people, I believe just hardened their heart against everything that God did and everything that Moses had to say. They hardened their heart against it until very destruction was brought upon them because of the hardness of their heart. Amen. I know that's right. I know that's right. Now, that myth goes on to say that the woman called the nurse of God, that the woman had a son also, who as just a lad was equal age with that crocodile, that God. And he became his playfellow. The two of them played together. But the crocodile grew and manifested his true nature and devoured the boy. And the woman proclaimed her son as being a blessed son. And in his death, and he became the gift to the people as a domestic god. I want you to, hey, can you see what I'm seeing here? Here is a woman that gives suck to a crocodile that is supposed to be a god. That crocodile devours the son. The son dies. Then the son becomes a domestic god in the nation of Egypt. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm telling you, if you don't see the virgin birth, and if you don't see the father and the son in that, I'm going to eat my hat, ladies and gentlemen. That crocodile to them was, hey, he was God. He was God to them. He was God to them. And that woman, amen, that's the Virgin Mary that nursed that God, that nursed that God. And you can say what you want to say. And that crocodile, that young man becomes a picture of the Lord Jesus, amen, that the crocodile devoured. Amen. That's right. Now stay right with me. Hallelujah. Now, it is no wonder that Israel, being raised in the midst of all this, was constantly chasing the gods of the countries they conquered. Can you get a hold of that? There is a people of God living in a land of idolatry, and God brings them out, and all you ever hear out of Him is how that they chased after the very gods of the lands that they had conquered. That's right. That's right. Somebody said, well, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that it's exactly like Lot. The Bible said that Lot was vexed. His righteous soul was vexed by hearing and seeing all the unrighteousness and all the filthiness that he saw down in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm telling you, hey, the same goes with people today, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot live out in that world and rub shoulders with the sin and the ungodliness that's out in that world without it rubbing off on us. I'm going to tell you, it'll rub off on us before we'll ever rub off on it. Now, I'm not saying we ought to witness. We ought not to isolate ourselves, but we ought to insulate ourselves. We ought to robe ourselves in Christ. When you go out into that world, I'm telling you, you better be careful. You better be careful, because I'm telling you that seeing and hearing that mess that is out there will vex your righteous soul, and you may not even know it.
Right.
May not even realize what's happening.
Amen.
You know, and I've been guilty of this, and so have you. Most of you have too. Go to Walmart, and they got all those big screens in there, and they've always got something on them. And you've always got to cast a little eye, you know, and a little ear to see what's going on. And if you're not right careful, you'll hear or see something you ain't supposed to hear or see. And I'm telling you, that thing, hey, or if you go to Walmart and they're playing that music over the intercom or any of the other stores and they're playing that music, hey, 3 or 4 days later, I'm telling you, that old song they're playing, if you're not careful, you'll be snapping your fingers to that. I'm telling you, it's the same way it was with the Hebrews while they were under the Egyptian bondage and before they were under bondage. They lived there amongst an idolatrous people, and that idolatry rubbed off on them. And while when they were delivered by the power of God, they followed that idolatry practically all the years of their life. Amen. That's right. That is exactly right. Boy, we're lively tonight now, no doubt about it. Now, when that water was turned into blood, a sharp rebuke was given by God to their religious superstition. Satan, when the law, before the law was given, but after the law was given, that Bible said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now I'm telling you, they had put that river and the gods that came out of that river before Almighty God. He may not have written that word on Mount Sinai, but I'm going to tell you, before that law was ever written on Sinai, it was written in the tables of the heart of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now I'm going to tell you, that commandment of loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart was there with God long before it was ever recorded on Mount Sinai. You better say amen right there. And God knew exactly what he was doing in the land of Egypt. He didn't have to think twice about it. Here is a whole nation that had put their gods out of a river. They worship a flowing river above God. They worship a river over the Creator. Are you listening to me? And God said, I'll have no other gods before me. And you can mark this down. God will judge idolatry. I don't care where it's at, whether it's in Egypt or whether it's in America. It will be judged by God someday. He will not. Hey, when the iniquity gets full, God will bring judgment.
Amen.
Say amen to that. That's exactly right. When that iniquity is full, God will bring judgment. Now, are you listening to me? Now, this beautiful river was a preserver of their country. It was a birthplace of their gods. It was the center of all their devotion. But it was turned to blood, and its waters stank. Now, I want to stop right there and say this, that some of the writers I've read after, they said that water really didn't turn to blood. They said what it was once every year, something happened upstream that made that water turn red and made it look like blood. Well, you know, that's funny to me, because the Bible said it was turned to blood and all the fish died and stank. And if that was the case, then the fish died every year. And the water would have stank every year. And then, hey, come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. They'd have had to put up with that every year. But I'm going to tell you, when God said he turned it to blood, I believe that Bible. I am a Bible believer, and that Bible said that he stretched that rod out over that Nile River, and the river was turned into blood, and every fish in that river died, and the water stank, and the Egyptians loathed to drink of the water of the Nile River. Amen, that's right. Now, that water that was once sweet to drink, and the fish it brought forth for food for the people, by the finger of God, is reduced to shame and disgrace. Now get a hold of this. And that which gives birth to gods is now dead.
Right.
Can you get a hold of that? Hey, when somebody dies, their blood, if it's left in them, it'll decay and corrupt and it'll stink. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened in the Nile River. That, hey, when that Nile was turned to blood, God's telling them, your God is dead. That God you trusted in is a dead God. And He cannot help you. And I'm going to tell you, He extended a hand of mercy to Egypt over and over and over again. And yet they refused to believe God. I wonder how many times God has stretched out His hand to America. I know that He stretched out His hand to Jerusalem a number of times, to Israel. O Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee as a hen doth give her chicks under a roof? But you would not. I wonder how many times God tried to do that for America. And America would not. Oh, hey, I'm going to tell you these things that are happening. Are you listening to me? Things that are going on are to get our attention more than anything in the world. When I look at what's going on in the Arab nations, my lands, folks, if that's not enough to wake up God's people, I don't know what is. And when you think of all of the weather that's going on, the difference, the earthquake, that earthquake in, where was it? New Zealand the other day. Never heard of one being there before. But before the end, there'll be earthquakes in divers places. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying all of the things that are going on in the around us ought to be a warning to you and I that God is tired of our idolatry. You know what I read just today? That the doctors in Great Britain have been commanded, they have been told that they have got to tell a woman that's planning to have an abortion that an abortion is less painful. Yeah, but there's it's not just painful. There's not as much harm in having an abortion as they are giving childbirth. That the abortion would be easier than giving birth to a child. And they've got to tell them that. They also got to tell them that it'll have no psychological effect over you whatsoever. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're killing babies by the multiplied millions, and hey, and that's what they were doing at the time, and God judged that river over that, and God's going to judge America over that. You just mark down what I'm telling you. God help us tonight. Butchering babies, sticking scissors in the back of their neck and clipping their spinal cord when they're alive and out of sight of their mother. I'm telling you, I've never heard of such myth in all of my born days, such sin and corruption. But I'm telling you, that shows the depravity of man. Hey, if you don't believe in the total depravity of man, you're an idiot. Men are depraved. And hey, and they know not the God of heaven. That Pharaoh and his servants and his people knew not the God of heaven. Why? They were depraved. And I'm telling you, man is naturally religious. And man will worship something, and so they created their own God. I said, they created their own God. Their own God didn't create them. They created their own God. And they worshiped that God that they had created out of their own thoughts or their imagination or with their own hands. Isn't that sad? That is sad. That is sad. No doubt about it. Now, their God was dead when the sea turned to blood. Their God died. No question about it. I'll say something about that again in a minute. This was not merely a wonder that God did here, but it was a sign. The first miracle was a demonstration of God's power. That was when the serpent of Aaron's rod swallowed up the serpents of Pharaoh. That was God's power. That was God's power. But I'm telling you, we're not looking at God, the demonstration of God's power now. It's now manifest in the plagues upon Egypt. We saw His power when Aaron's when Aaron's rod was cast down and devoured those serpents of the magicians of Pharaoh. But the power has brought plagues. And boy, there's a big difference. The power is behind the plagues. There's a big difference there. And God now begins those plagues to bring those plagues upon the nation of Egypt. And it's now manifest in the plagues upon Egypt. Judgment has come upon Egypt for their idolatry. The gods of the Nile have been exposed for what they were, gods of man's own making. Now, come on now. I know this ain't popular, but I'm telling you, it's in the Bible. And are you listening to what I'm saying? Men today have their own man-made gods. And most of them are self. They worship the creature more than they worship the Creator. Come on now. But I'm going to tell you, that ain't the only God. Money can become a God. Liquor can become a God. Dope can become a God. Possessions can become a God. Yeah, you can just about make a God out of anything you want to. Amen. I'm telling you, I've been out west some of those days. You'd be surprised what they make gods out of. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, it was from the river. Now get this. Where'd Moses come from? They drew him out of the Nile. And it says in chapter number 7, I believe it is in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. I wonder how he made Moses a god to Pharaoh. I'm going to tell you how. Pharaoh had enough sense to know that he would come out of now.
Amen.
Brother, I'm going to tell you, they were no doubt in Pharaoh's mind. He thought Moses was a god friend, but he wasn't going to cave into him. He said, the Lord, I don't know, but he knew Moses. He knew Moses, and he knew where Moses came from. Ain't no doubt that daughter of his had told him a number of times, that boy, I drew him out of the Nile. He's got, I'm confident in this verse, that he was made a god to the Egyptians from the very beginning. And the first they drew him out of that Nile River. Amen. That's where their gods came from. That's where they drew Moses out from. And the Bible said, God said, I'll make you a god. No, he didn't say, I'll make you a god. He said, see, I have made thee a god. He's already done it. Moses, I've already done it. I've already made you a god. When I brought you out of the Nile, I made you a god to Pharaoh and to all his people. Now, I want to mention three things very quickly, and I'm done. I want to mention the plagues, the purpose of these plagues. Don't get upset with me when I use this one word. But the plagues were not only designed to deliver Israel, but one thing they were designed for is to show us that God will avenge His elect. And they were God's elect. God chose them out of all nations of the earth. We can like that or love it. It's a fact. God didn't choose them because they were many, because they were strong. God chose them just because He loved them. Out of all the nations of the earth, God chose them. They were God's elect people and still are, by the way. Brother Doug said something today about, said they found out that Israel has got more oil. They've discovered great deposits of oil in the land of Israel. And it's no wonder that in the book of the Revelation, that God tells them in the book of the Revelation, when He poured out one of the vials, He said, see that thou touch not the oil nor the wine. I've heard Harold Sattler say more than once he thought that was literal. I believe it. And you know why the nation of the world is going to come down on that little country? Oil.
Amen.
Hey, oil keeps you warm. Oil keeps your putt-putts going. Oil keeps your tanks running. Are you listening to me? Oil keeps the generators running. Amen. And they're going to come down on that little country with unwalled cities, with unwalled country, with unwalled villages and cities. They're going to come down on it. But I got news for you. God's going to put a hook in that big bear's mouth and drag him right back. And it'll take Israel 7 months to bury the dead of them. Amen, that's right. They're not going to run Israel out of Israel. That bunch of Hebrews are there to stay. And they are, you know why? Because just like God's got a hedge around you and I, God's got a hedge around that little country.
Amen.
as the hills of the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about you. Amen.
Amen.
What that Bible says. Thank God. I'm glad He's round about me. Woo! I'm glad I'm not worshiping a snake or a fish or a crocodile. Thank God I'm worshiping the great I am, the first and the last, the only begotten of the Father. Thank God I'm worshiping God Almighty, the only and true God, the everlasting God. Amen. That's right. Bless His wonderful name. Now, God will avenge His own elect. You've heard the story out of Luke 18 about that widow and that unjust judge. That she kept going to that widow, that widow kept going to that judge, trying to get him to avenge her of her adversaries. And he wouldn't do it. He didn't fear God or he didn't fear man. Sound like anybody you know? Now, like Pharaoh to me, don't you? He feared neither God nor man. But he said, because this woman continually bothers me, he said, I'm going to avenge her. I'm going to give this woman exactly what she needs. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Now, I want to ask you something. He said He would avenge His own elect that cry unto Him day and night. What's it say in chapter 3 about those Jews? He said, their cry has come up before me. God heard their cry. Yes, oh yes. God will hear the cry of His people. And God will avenge His elect of their adversaries. Now I'm telling you, God will avenge you and I that are saved of our adversaries as well someday. And I'm going to say that last adversary He's going to take care of. He's going to be slew foot Himself. Buddy, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to the day God grabs him by the nape of the neck and seat of the riches, bless God, and casts him before out into hell, that we'll never, ever have to see Him, hear from Him ever again. And the liar of liars will be gone forever out of our life. Amen. That's right. God will destroy us. God will avenge us of our adversaries. I believe God will avenge His people today that are living to their adversary.
Amen.
In fact, I know that He will. I know that He will. They cried. God's people cried down in Egypt. God heard them. You know God, why God avenged them? They were being tormented. They were under heavy bondage and labor and burdens. And trials had been placed upon them by the people of the world. More than they could bear. And they begin to cry to God, and God looked down on them in their cry. And God saw all that they were going through. And I'm going to tell you, when I believe this with all my heart. When God looked down upon them and saw the trials and the tribulations and the heartaches and the heartbreaks and the burden that they were carrying, and saw them on their knees crying out to God, I believe that it tore the very heart of God apart to see His people under such a load. And God said, I'm come down that I might deliver them. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And God that avenged Israel, ladies and gentlemen. God can hear our cries well. God knows your heartaches tonight. And God knows your trouble tonight. God knows that you're broken in spirit tonight. God knows about your problems tonight. Now I'm telling you, God will come down. Not another God. Not a crocodile. Amen. Not a fish. Not a snake. But the God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The only God. The only begotten of the Father. The wise God. He will come down and deliver you as well. Amen. That's right. He knows where you hurt. He knows why you hurt. He knows why you're brokenhearted. He knows your griefs. He knows your sorrows. He knows everything about you. And you know something? He loves you. Church, can we get hold of that tonight? God loves us.
Amen.
Boy, that's about more than my heart can bear to think that God loves me. I don't know why God loves me. I'm not worthy of that love. And I'm not just being humble pie. I'm serious. I know me better than you know me. And I ought to be in hell with my neck broke. But I'm not. God has showed me mercy.
Amen.
One day back in 1970, in September, He heard my cry.
on an old-fashioned altar, God heard my cry. And He came to where I was. Hallelujah. When I could not get to Him, He came to where I was. Amen. I love that old song. He came to me. Thank God I'm glad He came to me. When I could not get to God, I'm glad that God came to me. Hallelujah. And lifted me by tender grace and mercy out of the horrible pit. Thank God and set my feet on a solid rock. I'm glad that He rescued my dying soul from a devil's hell. Amen. And freed me from the sin that had its grip on me and overpowered the devil that had a hold on me and set me free, just like Miss Rickard sang tonight. Free, free, free. Thank God I'm glad I'm free. Amen to God. Free. And it's gone, but no. Yes, it's gone. Hey, it ought to still be there. If the Son's you made you free, boys, you're free indeed. Hallelujah. Better believe that. Thank God I'm free from this world of sin.
Amen.
If I could sing, I'd sing it. That's right. Washed in His blood, been born again. Now, that God will judge idolatry. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Why do you think Pharaoh was walking down to that river that morning? Let me stimulate your thinking a little bit. Do you think he was going down there to bathe? Or possibly going down there to sightsee? I don't think so. Had his servants with him. Do you know the very second verse of Scripture? Let me read verses 14 and 15 to you. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water. And thou shalt stand by the river's brink against him, against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. Did you see in there what I seen? It said, you shall stand by the river's brink against he come. If I understand that, what the Bible's saying there, here comes Pharaoh not to bathe and not to sightsee. But here comes Pharaoh early in the morning to worship his God. And when he gets there to worship his God, there is Moses standing over by the brink of that water. He's standing on the edge of it with his back to it, if I can understand it rightly, with that rod in his hand that had just swallowed up those snakes. And he is standing against Pharaoh. That is, he is trying to warn Pharaoh. This is idolatry, and God will judge you because of this. Amen. He tried to stop him, ladies and gentlemen. He stood between him and his God. But Pharaoh wouldn't listen until the water was turned into blood. Amen. That's right. Amen. Now, it's consequences of that being turned into water. You know, there's nothing any more common in the world than water. But there's nothing any more needful than water either. You can go without food longer than you can go without water. It's necessary for life. And it's found almost everywhere. But the water that was so sweet to the Egyptians' taste is now turned to blood. They must either drink blood or go thirsty. Whichever one they want. And it said they couldn't drink the water because it stank and had dead fish in it, blood in it. And it was fulfilled in 7 days. That tells me for 7 days they went without water. They must have got pretty dry in 7 days. I've never went without water that long. I went without water long enough that I could just about swallow up the Niagara Falls, all of it. I mean, just swallowed it all. The Hudson River. What river is it that flows? Is it the Hudson? Is it the Niagara River? All right. I thought it was a Potomac. A Potomac. I'm just a joke. That's an inside joke, me and my wife. Amen. But I'm telling you, they went 7 days without water. They could not drink of the water of that river. Even the water in their vessels, wooden and stone, was turned into blood as well. Now, I'm going to say it was a righteous plague and justly inflicted upon the Egyptians. The river was Egypt's idol. They worshipped it rather than the Creator. God turned the blood, what they had. God turned to blood. Listen now. I like this. God turned to blood what they had turned into a god. Done a reversal on them. They made the river a god, so God took their river, and what they had made a god, God turned into blood. You know, I wonder what kind of judgments God will inflict on countries like America that's got as wicked as we have. Shed as much blood as we have. You know, the Bible even says, and I can't recollect the chapter and verse right now in my mind. It even says that the blood of the land was polluted because they failed to put to death those that were worthy to die. And the land was polluted with that blood. And he said the only way that the land could be cleansed was for that person that had shed blood to die. Look how many people we got today that are in prisons that ought to be dead. Huh? I thought of something else I was going to say too. I forgot what it was. I wish I said it when I thought about it. Maybe I'll think about it in a minute. Hallelujah. They turned to blood. What they turned to blood, to God rather, God turned to blood. Then they had stained the river with the blood of the Hebrew children. And God gave them blood to drink, for they are worthy, as it says in the book of the Revelation. God gave them blood to drink. Then I want to say it was a significant plague. Egypt had great dependence on that river, so that smiting it warned them of the destruction to come, the death of their firstborn, and the ruin of Pharaoh at the Red Sea. It was a warning to them that they should have heeded, but they failed to heed it. Boy, I wish I could think of that, what I was going to say. Man, it's in my mind and I can't get it out. I wish I could get it out because it is good. To me it was. And I failed to write it down. That's what you get. Maybe I'll think of it tomorrow, next week sometime. But then besides this, another purpose for the plagues was that God was showing them that there is no other God but Him. When the God of the Egyptians was dead, the God of the Hebrews yet lived.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, He not only lived then, He lives now.
Amen.
And He shall live forevermore.
Amen.
And how blessed and wonderful it is to know that when God has come to you and I and saved us by His grace.
Yes.
And because He's alive and living, we're going to live with Him also.
Amen.
For all time and eternity, I'm so thankful. And I passed from death unto life.
Yep.
And God loved me enough to pass by my way one day.
Yep.
Turn me from my sin. Turn me to Christ that I might be God's eternal child. God bless you for being here tonight. Let's stand together.